In the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs, we don't find those single lines or sentences with which we usually associate the word proverb. Rather, in these first 9 chapters are a series of discourses. And there are 3 distinct people who are involved in addressing the reader through these discourses. The last time we were in chapter 1 of Proverbs, we met one of these people. Wisdom speaking through the person of the father, of a wise parent. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. And indeed, the bulk of these first 9 chapters are given to us by this wise parent. But there are 2 others who address us in these chapters. Both are women. One is wise. The other is cunning and deceitful. In this passage that we're looking at this evening, verses 20 through 33 of the first chapter, we meet for the first time what one commentator has described as woman wisdom. She will speak again towards the end of this opening section of discourses. She will actually have a showdown with that other woman. But more about that when we eventually get to the relevant section. Woman wisdom. Who is she? Well, we've just sung a song that is based on verses from the Gospel of John and the book of Revelation. Let me read from John's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 37 and 38, and see if you can recognize something similar to what we read earlier from Proverbs chapter 1. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." We will see more clearly as we progress through this opening section of the book of Proverbs that wisdom presented to us in the form of a wise parent and a wise woman also speaks to us of Jesus Christ. Indeed, Jesus is the personification of the wisdom of God. He fulfills the role of the wise parent and the wise woman who speaks to us in these chapters. And it's with that in mind that we should approach these discourses. We do not live 1,000 years before the coming of Christ. We live 2,000 years after his coming. And we must recognize that the Old Testament scriptures point forward to him. They speak of him. And we are to see him then in the pages of the Old Testament, just as we expect to see him in the pages of the New Testament. And this particular section of the book of Proverbs calls out to us in the words of Jesus. And there are 3 questions then for us, for you, as we consider this passage. The first question is this: are you being addressed? As woman wisdom cries aloud in the streets, as Jesus cries out with a loud voice, are you being addressed? The opening words of woman wisdom are perhaps not the most alluring or encouraging. Who does she address? The simple, the scoffer, and the fool. We've already encountered the simple person. He is the one who is naive, immature, ignorant perhaps, and because of his naivety and immaturity, his behaviour is often very foolish, unwise. But he is teachable. He is, to some degree, open to guidance, even correction. The scoffer, on the other hand, is perhaps among the most hardened of those described as fools in the book of Proverbs. He delights in scoffing. You give to him a word of advice, and he throws it back at you with a laugh. He is not interested in being counseled or guided. He scorns those who wish to help. And fools, the last group referred to here or addressed here, are described as those who hate knowledge. It's a generic term, though some commentators see it as perhaps even a worse person than the scoffer. Throughout the book of Proverbs, we come across the fools. And hatred of knowledge is another way of saying they lack wisdom. Are you such a person? Well, we'd be quick to say, no, I'm not simple. I'm not naive or immature. I'm certainly not a scoffer. I don't particularly care to be called a fool. But are you? Do you fall into one of these categories? You see, the context of the book of Proverbs is verse 7 of chapter 1. It's the motto, if you like. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So the question must be this: do you fear the Lord? Do you heed his voice when he speaks? Are you quick to obey his instruction? Do you search out his truth and endeavour to apply it to your life? Is your great goal in life to please and honour and reverence him? Now, if you can't answer yes to all of those questions, then you're either simple or a scoffer or a fool. For these are the people who have no fear of the Lord, who do not acknowledge his right to rule them, who will not be guided by him, who hate his instruction, despise his wisdom. Oh, you say, I wouldn't go as far as to say that. I don't hate what he has to say. Indeed, I'm quite happy to listen to what he has to say. But do you, with every nerve and every ounce of strength, seek to apply what he has to say? Do you welcome his words, or do you listen to them somewhat grudgingly, out of necessity, rather than out of desire? See, wisdom begins with a right relationship with God. And the right relationship with God means to love him with all of your being. Wisdom then cries aloud in the street to those who are naive and immature and don't really understand the importance of these truths. She cries out aloud to those who ridicule her and scoff at what she has to say. She speaks with pleading earnestness to those who hate knowledge and so demonstrate their folly. But she cries out to them just as God in Christ cries out to you. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to the waters and drink freely. This is the great invitation. The call of Jesus is like the call of this woman, Wisdom, in verse 23. If you turn at my reproof, if you will heed my words and turn from your sins, from your naivety, from your scoffing, from your hatred of what is right and good and noble and true, if you will turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. They will become life to you. They will nourish your soul and guide you through this world. Indeed, if we turn back to John's Gospel, we see again the connection. Jesus calls out with a loud voice, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now John comments and he says, this Jesus said about the Spirit whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. But here is the promise. Turn at my reproof, hear my cry, listen to my words, and I will pour out my Spirit on you. He will give you life. He will guide you in your way. You will no longer be fools, but wise. No longer be simple, but mature. No longer scoff, but yourselves become proclaimers of the wisdom of God. Are you being addressed? Do you need to open your ears and hear the invitation, the call, the cry, turn, follow Jesus? Because there's a second question that must be asked. Are you on the brink of being rejected? Are you on the brink of being rejected? Rejected by Christ, rejected by God, rejected by Wisdom. Notice three things in this passage. Firstly, the current state of those who are being addressed by woman Wisdom. Because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Who are these people that she's addressing? Who are these simple, scoffing fools? They are people who have heard this voice in the streets crying out, offering and inviting, and they've refused. They've turned down the invitation, much like the people that Jesus spoke of in one of his parables, who had been invited to a wedding feast, and servants were sent out to tell them that it was ready and that they needed to come, and they refused. They each had other things to do. They were busy about other business, and they refused the invitation. Not only do they refuse an invitation, they reject an offer. I stretched out my hand. Here was a gift for you. A treasure for you. Life. And peace. And endless days were offered. You brushed it aside. Rejected the offer. Like a horse with blinkers. You could only see one way, and that didn't include anything to do with the wise ways of God. And with your focus riveted on earthly pleasures and quick riches, you reject the offer of eternal life. She says, I not only stretched out my hand, but I gave you counsel. And you ignored it all. You would not be guided by me. Would not be advised by me. More than that, you would have none of my reproof. When I warned you of your danger, when I urged you to reconsider your ways, you disregarded it all, as though it was of no relevance to you at all. This is the current state of those being addressed. Refusing, rejecting, ignoring and disregarding the message of woman wisdom. Are you like that? With the offer of the gospel of Jesus Christ, peace with God and eternal life through faith in Him, and you say, maybe another day, but I'm too busy today. I've got other things to occupy my mind. I'll think about that some other time. I'm not too worried. I've got plenty of time. I'm young. My life is before me. Maybe when I'm a bit older, maybe when I can understand those big words a bit better, maybe then I will turn. Maybe then I will take heed. Are you like these foolish simpletons? Well, look in the second place at the imminent danger of such people. Verses 26 and 27. Because of these things, because of your refusal, rejection, ignoring and disregarding of my words, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, I will laugh. You see, these people are in imminent danger of these things coming their way. Terror, calamity, distress and anguish. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. For Proverbs connects foolishness with disaster, sooner or later. It will happen. And when it happens, the scoffer becomes the object of scorn. Then woman wisdom will laugh. No, this isn't an alien concept in the Bible. We find it also in the book of Psalms. Early on in the second psalm, God speaks in a similar vein. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. the Lord holds them in derision. These are fools. They scoff at God. But one day, God will scorn them. Here are simpletons and fools who hate knowledge, and they have scorned wisdom's words and ridiculed her as she shouted in the streets and provided them with this invitation and given them this offer and provided counsel and reproof, and they've laughed at her and they've scorned her and they've ridiculed her and they've thrown things at her. But calamity will come to them and she will laugh. For her advice, unheeded, will certainly result in calamity. And the words of Jesus Christ and the offer of life through him, if rejected, will ultimately end in destruction. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And for all the earnestness with which Jesus himself cried out in the streets of Judah and Jerusalem, with all the pleading that he spoke with the people, and down through the centuries as his servants have gone out into the towns and the cities and the lanes and the byways of this world and have pleaded with foolish simpletons to turn from their folly and to embrace Jesus Christ, with all the sincerity that has gone into that, you can be just as sure that one day Jesus will laugh at the folly of those who persist in rejecting him. It is through their own foolishness that the calamity will come upon them. See the fearful consequence for those who are addressed here in verses 28 through 31. They will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. This is the way they have chosen, woman wisdom says. And because they have chosen it, and because they have rejected any correction or other advice that is contrary to their own perceived wisdom and understanding, when at last they reap the harvest that they have sown in their lives, there will be no further recourse to woman wisdom. She will turn a deaf ear to their cries of anguish. Their punishment will be on their own heads. The tables are turned, you see. The scoffer becomes the scorned. And those who once rejected the words of wisdom are now rejected by wisdom. Oh, but you say that's so contrary to other parts of scriptures, which talk about seeking the Lord and he will be found, calling upon him and he will hear. You may have in your minds the words of Isaiah 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. But you see, implicit in that is a time limit. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He will not always be near. He may not always be found. Here is the day of invitation. Here is the day when Jesus is near and says, "Come to me. Cast your cares upon me. Learn of me. Trust in me." But the day will not last forever. There will come a day when Jesus will turn a deaf ear to every cry, however full of anguish it may be. The book of Revelation speaks about that day. Speaks about a day when people will see the Lord and will cry out for the mountains to fall on them. That day of judgment, that day of reckoning, will be a day too late. Are you on the brink of being rejected by God because you reject the offer of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ? Which leads me to my third and final question. What will your fate be? You see, there's a simple rule that is presented to us by woman wisdom. The simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. What will your fate be? Turn away from wisdom, turn away from the call of Jesus Christ, and you turn into the grip of death. But listen, hear, respond today, and you will be safe and at peace forever. What will your fate be? You see, there's an urgency in this situation. Wisdom cries aloud in the streets, in the market. She raises her voice at the head of the noisy street. She cries out at the entrance of the city gate. She speaks. She's speaking to everyone. Everyone will turn their ear to hear. She's not in some little meeting hall somewhere, speaking to a favoured few who have decided to darken her doorway. She's gone out to the people and she cries out to them with urgency in her voice. Listen to me. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in scoffing and fools hate knowledge? Listen to me. Turn from your folly. Listen to me. Be advised. Jesus cried aloud in the streets of Jerusalem. Come to me. Drink of the water of life that I will give, and you'll never be thirsty. It's a message for all, but have you heard it? This must be the point. Are you being addressed? Are you on the brink of rejection? What will your fate be? Forget everyone else around you. Jesus speaks to you. If you have not already responded to the call, Jesus is speaking to you now. Turn from your sins. Trust in me, and I will give you life. Don't let another day pass, for another day may be too late.